Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from Camp Ripley, where we'll explore the capabilities of this great state asset. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
In April, we celebrate Earth Day, honoring our commitment to environmental preservation. With more than 13,000 service members and civilians working in 58 different communities across our great state, we have the potential to make a positive environmental impact. Just one example of our commitment is the 60-acre, 10-megawatt solar field now operational at Camp Ripley. Harnessing the power of the sun, this project produces enough energy to power the entire camp, earning Minnesota the Pentagon's Environmental Award for Natural Resources Conservation. The Camp Ripley Solar Project is just one of the many environmentally conscious efforts made by your Minnesota National Guard. Whether it's our renewable energy projects, wildlife management, or building new energy-efficient facilities, we're taking action to protect our shared environment, not just on Earth Day, but every day. For more information, please visit MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/environment. That's MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/environment.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who is the senior officer at Camp Ripley. What is your title up here, General?
So I'm in Army parlay. There's actually a regulation that tells us this. I'm the senior commander of the installation.
Senior commander, and yep. Colonel Melton's actually the
garrison commander.
Garrison commander. And General, you've been on the show before, and we've talked about this great state asset, but could you just give us a 10,000-foot overview? It's 58,000 acres, and it's quite a facility.
It's 53,000 acres. It runs on the west side of the Mississippi River. We've got 18 miles of the last 18 miles of that are undisturbed, undeveloped of the Mississippi River. On the north side, we're bordered by the Crow Wing River that forms our northern boundary. And inside that 53,000-acre training area, we pretty much have every training range and capability that the Army has nationwide. That we provide to the Minnesota National Guard first, and then our other DOD training partners, as well as a lot of state agencies that come here and train as well. So it's a great place to live and work. I'm pretty proud of it, and get the opportunity to live here every day and hear the bugle calls at night, and it's a pretty cool experience.
So. Sir, we're going to explore some of the capabilities up here, because this is one of the best facilities in the country, as I'm told. And but it's used, as you said, by not just the Minnesota National Guard, but the Minnesota Patrol is up here, the Highway Department, the Department of Transportation.
Sir.
Several state agencies use it.
Yes, sir. So besides our military customers, which for the National Guard is probably a five-state area around Minnesota as our primary military customers, we've had an explosion over the last 10 years of civilian customers coming here to train. On average, we have about 325,000 man days of military customers here. What that means is every time a soldier comes to Camp Ripley for one day, I count him. And so over a year's time, about 325,000 soldiers training here. But we've expanded our civilian usage from the 30,000 man days a year up to around 65,000 right now, which means that I've got 65,000 state patrolmen, DOT snowplow drivers, DNR officers, Department of Corrections, all the different state agencies have learned that Camp Ripley can provide them a great place to come and train, come and do conferences, and there's a lot of advantages of coming here over any other place. So,
sir, I've heard the Camp Ripley described as a city. You've got everything here
it
that you
need. It is a small city. Most military posts are essentially a small city, but in reality, Camp Ripley has every capability from a full-time fire department, full-time police department, in reality, Department of Public Works. I deal with the same problems that all city managers deal with, parking and sewage and waste and trash, all those different things that keep city managers up at night become my headache. So,
General, we're going to look into more of the facilities here and the capabilities. And joining us now is Colonel Brian Bobo, who is the commander of the 175th Regional Training Institute. Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, sir.
Can you tell us, Regional Training Institute, when I think about the military, I think when I went in, we went off to basic training, we went off to tech school, we went off here, we went off there, and of course that was long, many decades ago. Yes. But you have some great capabilities right here at Camp Ripley.
We do, and I will say, as of this year, I think calling us a regional training institute is a little bit of a misnomer, as the Army transitioned into the total Army school system, is what they call it. So we are now part of the entire Army school system for the courses we teach. And so primarily that affects our NCO courses. And so we have we teach courses for professional development that's critical for their career, critical for their promotion. And our courses are now, instead of in the past where it would mostly be guard reservists, are now active duty, guard, and reserves all in the same course. So
now, are those courses, sir, is that just for the Minnesota National Guard, or are there people from all over the country that come here to train?
All over the country. So active duty, guard, reserves from all over the country.
So Camp Ripley is really can do it all when it comes to training, and is helping the Army and the Army Reserve and the Guard.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be part of the bigger picture and really have an impact on soldiers' lives and their careers, and helping them continue to get promoted and move forward.
Tom, as an example, yesterday I ran into a sergeant that was an active duty soldier that was stationed at Joint Base Lewis-McCoy out in Washington State, and he remarked to me that this is one of the best bases he's ever been to in his entire career. So it was pretty good to hear.
Sir, we should have got him on the radio. Yeah. We could have done a promo for Camp Ripley and sent that
out. Absolutely.
General, I understand that back, I think it was around World War II, we were even doing basic training up here at Camp Ripley.
We started that in 1941. We were doing that. And in reality, for our National Guardsmen, as they came out of World War II, they still had somewhat of their basic training accomplished here post-World War II as part of kind of on-the-job training as guardsmen as well. So
is that one of the few things, Colonel, that we have to send our troops off to basic training, but after that we can take care of them up here?
Well, there's basic training, their advanced individual training, and then after that we can do quite a bit. So we don't do it all, but we can do quite a bit.
All right. Now, I want to ask you a question. If we've got a soldier that's in one MOS, I think is what you guys call it, mm-hmm. was AFSC in the Air Force Specialty Code. But if they're changing from one job to another job, can they come up here to Camp Ripley, and can you help accommodate that?
It depends on the military occupational specialty. We can do that with mechanics for track mechanics, but other than that, we don't do the transition courses.
That was part of them adopting this one schoolhouse across the whole Army, as they really specialized each school then on a small piece of courseware. Mm-hmm. So Colonel Bobo's school really concentrates on teaching maneuver leaders what it takes to be a tank commander or a platoon leader in a tank or a Bradley unit and things like that.
And a little later in the show, General, we're going to talk about your maintenance facility up here and the logistics of sending all that equipment all over the world or,
yes.
or across country. And one of the interesting things is they bring it back here and you've got to get it ready for the next mission.
In a short period of time, so it takes a lot of planning.
And with that big of a maintenance facility, you must have a lot of soldiers coming up that you have to train to keep them active over there.
Yeah, and we focus really more on the career development type of courses. And so, again, it's just exciting to be part of the bigger Army with that and teaching people their basic job skills and getting them qualified to be a mechanic in whatever specialty they're in.
So how do people find out which courses are available at Camp Ripley? Is that posted? Is that somewhere that the Army can look at from anywhere?
Yes. So the Army has a system that you can go into, and if you need a course, you go in and you register for that course, and there's generally an option of various places you can do the course or conduct it, depending on the time frame you're looking for. And so now, if you're an active duty soldier and you need one of the courses we teach, when they go into that system, we're one of the facilities available to teach that to them.
So, General, just like going to any school, when they come in for a few weeks to go to a school or a month, you've got to house them, you've got to feed them,
we
got
do,
to
yes.
provide so, everything that they need.
So some of his kids are here for, you know, 6-7 weeks long, those courses. So we'll, like the kid from the active duty soldier from Fort Lewis, he's here for 6 weeks. So he's living in our in a hotel style room for 6 weeks. He's got a dining facility, you know, 50 yards away from his hotel room, and his classroom's across the hall. So here, our education center is set up perfectly for that kind of an experience.
Very good, sir. Gentlemen, we're going to have to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to some or find out more capabilities here at Camp Ripley. But Colonel Bobo, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, sir.
And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Camp Ripley. And we're up here today with Minnesota Military Radio and speaking with Brigadier General Lowell Cruz. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from Camp Ripley, where we're exploring the capabilities of this great state asset. And then our co-host for the show has been Brigadier General Lowell Cruz. And, General, we're learning some great things about that segment about the training and the things that can be done here that can't be done in other places of the country.
Yeah, we've got a great schoolhouse in the RTI there. Colonel Bobo did a great job of talking a little bit about it.
And we've got another guest joining us now. Would you like to introduce
him? Yeah, so sitting next to me is Major Kyle Klosowski. Kyle works inside of our United States Property and Fiscal Office here on the installation. And the federal government has placed a independent colonel here by the name of Mark Schuta, who is the United States Property and Fiscal Officer. And he is responsible for all the federal funds and the federal property that the federal government gives the Minnesota National Guard to use and to becomes our functioning equipment for the National Guard's training and all those things. And Major or Colonel Schuta is responsible for making sure that the Guard uses that equipment and that money and the way the federal government envisioned it being used.
So. Major, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
I think I'd like to start with this question. We've established that Camp Ripley is a state asset. It belongs to the state of Minnesota, and it's used by a lot of state agencies as well as the Minnesota National Guard and all the training that you do for the military. But there must be a fine line. You have to separate state money and state assets from federal money and federal missions. Can you tell us how that works?
Yes, you're correct. One of our main functions is to make sure that we keep pots of money in the correct pot. We don't cross over. It's different type of appropriations, which is mandated by Congress. And what we have is just several, you know, different programs in place, applications in place that we make sure that the money is used directly for what it's intended for, to be used for, and that it's not used for concurring years as well. So we make sure that we use our resources and abilities to make sure we follow through on that for Congress that's been mandated to us.
So, General, when you have different people that come up and use this facility, yep. Whether if they're military and it's a federal mission, it comes out of that pot. But if it's DOT or if it's somebody else, then that's state money and paid for by other people.
So as federal funds come into the state, sometimes they keep their federal identity. Sometimes we put them through what's called a cooperative agreement, in which they take federal funds and through that agreement turn them into state funds. And now we can hire state employees and buy state purchased equipment and stuff like that with those funds. And then we also have to keep track on the backside. When we bring a state agency in here, we do a formal lease with them. That lease details out the costs of the use of any building or piece of equipment. Those costs are really what the federal government's take is in that piece of equipment. So is it, if it's the electric bill, if it's maintenance of that building, it's what the federal government would have spent for that period of time that that state agency is using it, and they compensate us back for that. And that's how we can legally allow them to use what is essentially federally funded equipment.
So, Major, if you're acting as a landlord or if you're acting as you're running the hotel or if you're whatever it is you happen to be doing, you have to be pretty careful about what's the mission, who's paying for it, and where are the agreements in place that make this all legal?
We certainly do. We have, as mentioned before, contracts set up in place by our contracting department and our representative, our grants officer as well, too, to make sure that those agreements are followed through and the rules and regulations that are mandated through Congress and through Army doctrine are followed through.
So, General, some of that you've got soldiers that are on a type of active duty. You've got weekend soldiers. You've got independent. You've got several different statuses of people here.
Kyle's got a section of people working for him called the military pay section. They're pretty important to everybody in the Minnesota National Guard.
Yes, sir.
And they do a great job of making sure that our payroll data gets entered into the systems that pay us. But more importantly, they've got a mission of auditing those pay records all the time as well, so that because we have a lot of people in different statuses. Myself, I can get paid by the state of Minnesota. I can get paid by the National Guard in a federal status, and I need to make sure that I've got an appropriate leave slip in for one element when I'm getting paid by the other, so that there's no chance that I could be double compensated for the same period of time and things like that. And Kyle's got people that keep track of all that.
And, of course, that's one of the big capabilities of the Minnesota National Guard as opposed to active duty or reserves. You've got a federal mission and a state mission in different statuses.
So as a state National Guard, we balance those pieces. And to tell you the truth, my active component counterparts, that's all foreign to them. When we talk about having to balance funding and state missions and stuff like that, that's something that my son, who's on active duty, never would even think about having to worry about.
Sure.
They get paid once a month, and if they need something, the federal government provides it to them.
Pretty simple for the active duty guys. It's a federal job. And
we like to say it's simple. Yeah, that's why they're there.
So. We're speaking with Brigadier General Lowell Cruz and Major Kyle Klosowski on Minnesota Military Radio. Major, the capabilities of Camp Ripley. Now, you've got a finance office up here. You've got a complete supply capability.
That is correct. Really within the USPFO, and that's what we call ourselves, there's really five distinct kind of areas or divisions we like to call them. One is what we call our supply and services. That's where we have all the warehouses at located. Either we are bringing equipment and supplies and equipment in, or we're exporting out, it goes to that main warehouse. Also in that area, we also have our central issue facility, which is we call our CIF. And that's where our soldiers will get their clothing, their basic common gear. We also have a medical facility as well that takes care of making sure we have the right medical supplies out there. And that's all housed under our supply and services division. We also have a purchasing and contract division, which we alluded to earlier, which deals with a lot of the contracts that are being built. Like, for example, buildings that are being built here on Camp Ripley. Multiple players in that, and the contracts is kind of the basis agreement for that. And that's handled by that department. We also have a data processing division, which is similar to all other kind of data processing divisions, important to us because we have so many different applications and programs and computer software engines running with finance involved. You want to make sure that you're on top of that. You can't afford to have issues with that. And as we alluded to earlier, we also have an auditing department, which falls under our IR department, our internal review department. Very much similar like to our IRS that everybody knows about out in the real world. We're not as quite as harsh. And then, of course, lastly, which we talked about, we have a resource management division, which deals with pay, travel pay, any type of benefits and entitlements for our guardsmen. So we have basically five main divisions that help us out here in the USPFO. I myself am part of the resource management division, which we were talking with the general earlier, that pay is our main goal, our main objective, or main thing that we want to make sure that we handle correctly for the state.
So, Major, as an example, if we get a unit that comes in from another state, and they're coming in for a couple weeks worth of training, you have to house them, you have to feed them, you have to have everything ready for them when they come here. Each one of those missions is a separate accounting mission for you, isn't it?
Correct. It's all started basically with certain contracts set up before they come. And that's where we're making sure that money is being, pulled or pushed correctly and for what purpose. So, yes, there are many different aspects to something.
So
like
when
that.
A unit comes here from out of state, we actually make them set up a checking account with us, and they have to have money put into it. And that that account, what we call a MIPR, then military transaction, basically allows us to see that they've got money set aside to support their training activities, and then we draw the money we spend on rations or anything else for them.
Then you supply whatever type of support they need to get that training done on this great facility.
They identify what they need up front. We tell them, hey, you better have this kind of money in your checking account, and we hope it all balances when it's done.
Well, Major, you've got a pretty important job up here. I wish you well, and thank you for joining us today in Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
General, we got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk logistics, and I know that's one of your favorites.
Excellent, yes.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about logistics, one of General Cruz's favorite topics at Camp Ripley. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
As we near the 4th of July, I'm reminded of the 24-note bugle call, also known as TAPS. Our current version was likely created during the Civil War by Union General Daniel Adams Butterfield. He decided the French lights-out music was too formal for the daily end-of-day signal. He hummed a version to an aide, who transcribed it to music. General Butterfield then directed the brigade bugler, Oliver Norton, to play the notes, and he made further adjustments to the length of each note. This new call was then played at the end of each day, instead of the regulation call. Word spread, and other buglers adopted the same call. It was even adopted by Confederate buglers. This music was made the official Army bugle call shortly after the war ended, but was not given the name TAPS until 1874. TAPS Out is now played at all military burial and memorial services to accompany the lowering of the flag and to symbolize Lights Out command at day's end.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. General, we've been talking about the capabilities up here at Camp Ripley, an amazing facility. And one of the things that just fascinates me is whenever you send your troops out of here with people and equipment and they go off on their missions, it's all about logistics, planning for it, sending people a half a world away. And then when they come home, you've got to get all those people and all that equipment back here, and you got to get ready for the next mission.
The operators like to think they run the Army, but the logisticians run the Army. We just let them think they do. So.
And, of course, you were the head logistician at one time.
I was. I had that opportunity for about 5 years, and so it was pretty good duty, and we did some amazing things. But what these kids are doing right now with this year's activities is even greater.
And a lot of missions coming up. And, sir, we've got another special guest. Would you like to introduce her?
Yes. So this is Captain Mokenhaus. Captain Mokenhaus works inside of our G4 as one of our operations planning officers. So her job is to listen to all those operators I was making fun of and listen to their plans and actually make it reality. So,
Captain, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning. Thank you.
Captain, every time I come up here, I've toured the maintenance shop over there, and I've seen all kinds of equipment lined up out in the yards. Can you tell us what are you capable of doing with all that equipment here at Camp Ripley? I understand you can fix just about anything.
Yes, sir. So we have the combined maintenance activity up here at Camp Ripley. We provide surface maintenance equipment and allied trade support, among communications and electronics support and armament support for Minnesota units training up here at Camp Ripley, as well as outstate units who request support for any vehicles and equipment that they bring with them. We also provide equipment here for loan for other units coming from outside of the state of Minnesota so that they can train without having to rail in or line haul any of their equipment that might be a little bit harder for them to bring with them. So basically, it's a one-stop shop for any equipment that needs to be fixed or loaned out to any units coming up here to train at Camp Ripley, sir.
General, is that one of the biggest maintenance facilities in the region?
It is, yes. You know, what we really did, it was three separate maintenance facilities, and we combined them into one set of management. There's almost 100 maintenance bays in that footprint. So our maintenance bays, you know, each one of them can support the repair of a 62-ton Abrams tank in reality. And we fix everything from a 9mm pistol up to a Abrams tank in those shops, and if they can't find the part, they can fabricate it and make it at a lot of times. So
Captain, when we have visiting units come in to use the camp for a couple of weeks for training, they'll bring some equipment, but you've suggested that they can use some of the equipment you have, and if their equipment breaks down while you're here, then you can help them repair as well.
Yes, sir. They work with Major Klazowski's team to set up a loan lease and utilize some of the equipment that's available up here, generating some revenue for the state of Minnesota and also facilitating the equipment usage. You know, it's not good for equipment not to be used. used. So it helps us to have outstate units take advantage of the capabilities that we have, and it also helps them to not have to bring everything with them.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Lowell Cruz and Captain Menkhouse at Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, we've talked a lot about capabilities, but you not only house the units that come here, you feed them, you can help them maintain the equipment, you can lease some equipment. If I'm running a unit in another state or another area and I have an opportunity to come to Camp Ripley, this is kind of a one-stop shop. You can find anything you need.
We pride ourselves on our customer service, and be that in the G4 and their effort to help a unit meet its, you know, we have technicians in Mokenhouse's team that come in the middle of the night to get a part for a unit that needs to continue to train, and they've broken something, and our staff is off for the evening, and they'll come in and make that happen. No different than, you know, I liken it unto our hometown values that I grew up with, where, you know, if you needed something, you could probably call the local service shop, and he'd come in the middle of the night and help you. And we are a lot like that here, so...
Captain, we've covered over the years deployments, and we've covered missions where we went out, for instance, to the National Training Center. And a few years ago, we saw that, I think Colonel St. Sauber told us if it would have been one train, it would have been about 9 miles long worth of equipment that was shipped out to California. And they used it heavy out in the desert for a few weeks. When they're all done with that, and I understand that that last NTC thing went very well, got to get all that equipment back home. And what happens when it gets in here to Camp Ripley?
Yes, sir. So as you're aware right now, there's the staging that's happening for all of our equipment for Armor Brigade Combat Team to move down to Fort Hood, Texas. We have about 500 cars that are getting ready to move, which is 30% more than we sent back in 2015 for our National Training Center rotation, for generally the same group of individuals, just bringing more with them. It's a lot of moving equipment. It's not only a major move for Camp Ripley to get it down there, but like you mentioned, to get everything back and regenerate all of the equipment on return. We have to make sure that all of our inventories are completed for all of the equipment that gets brought with, make sure that all of the vehicles and equipment get fixed as quickly as possible so that they can be ready for the next training exercise. One of the major things that we've done recently, in 2015, we implemented the Global Combat Support System, Army, which is a online system for tracking maintenance statuses and parts requirements for units. And so that helps us significantly with increased visibility for operational readiness and projecting what parts we need to order before they're actually here within the state of Minnesota, so that we can order the parts here in the state to fix the equipment as soon as it comes back to the state of Minnesota so that it's ready for the next exercise. So,
General, I'm told Fort Hood is one of those big bases in Texas where you can get your heavy equipment out in the field and you can do the things you need to do.
Yeah.
And they're going to use it hard, and when it comes back, it's going to need some help.
You know, we answer the questions, why are we spending $12 million to ship, you know, one of the historic, you know, it'll be our largest shipment out of here of equipment in one batch of equipment. We set a record when we went to NTC and before, but we're almost one-third as many rail cars coming out this time around. And why do we do that? Well, Camp Ripley's got the capability of training that Armored Brigade Combat Team, but not at the same combined level that a Fort Hood does. The ranges at Fort Hood are much more extensive, and the terrain there is much more open than our wooded terrain here. So they'll have some better maneuver space. They'll have some better ranges. Colonel Kemp, the brigade commander, is going to be able to conduct a company-level combined arms live-fire exercise, which is pretty important for him as a culminating event. And we can't do that here, and that's why we're spending this money to provide our soldiers the best realistic training that's going to allow them to survive in combat. That's what it's about.
Captain, it sounds like the easy part of that exercise is shipping the equipment out. The hard part is when it all comes back home and it's been used hard. Now you got to get ready for the next mission. That's why you need that maintenance facility and all those great soldiers you've got.
Absolutely, sir. It's a major move for kind of everyone across the state.
Yeah, they're under a huge timeline. They got this equipment will come back in September. They've got to do a major renovation of that equipment. That it gets a whole new communication system called a JCB or JCP. And so we got to have contractors install all those pieces as well as fix all the stuff that's broke all in time that we can reload all this equipment and send it to the National Training Center again next June for their rotation in July next year.
Well, sir, we're really fortunate to have such a great facility and good people up here and be able to accommodate all these missions and make sure you're ready for the next one in a timely fashion.
Well, it's the people that make it happen, and that's the heart of why we're so successful is we have some great people working for us.
Captain, I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and keep up the good work over there at that maintenance shop.
Thank you, sir.
General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more and try to wrap this up and talk about the capabilities and the mission and
perfect
and all the things coming up. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from Camp Ripley. And we've been looking over some of the capabilities of this great state asset, and my co-host has been Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who's the senior officer up here at Camp Ripley. And General, one of the things that that comes to mind is we had Colonel Kemp on the show a few weeks ago, and he was talking about the upcoming missions. You've got the XCTC, you've got the National Training Center coming up. That's usually followed the next year by another mission. We've got people over in Kuwait right now. We've got the ECAB going out back out to Kuwait when our Red Bulls come home. There's constantly turnover in the mission, I would think that what you need to do is be ready for the next mission at all times.
You bet. So your Minnesota National Guard couldn't be any busier. And, you know, we bought into that mission when we told the federal government and our nation that the National Guard could step up and take some of the role that the Army was doing rather than grow the Army bigger. And so the Army is too small by itself to meet all the national missions. It needs the National Guard, and that's why your division headquarters is in Kuwait right now. That's why the Aviation Brigade is going to Kuwait next year, and it's why your Armor Brigade combat team is prepping itself for major combat operations as well. And so,
and when they get back from Fort Hood, which we talked about in the last segment, they got to get ready to go to the National Training Center, which is, as I understand it, kind of the top of the training rotation.
It is probably the most intense training in outside of combat. And a lot of people that have gone through combat will tell you that their experience at the National Training Center was probably worse. So for us, it's really I describe it as the cauldron that we put units in to refine them into being the kind of warriors that we expect to have in the Army. And this brigade's going to do a great job. The mission of my base here is to help them prep for that experience and to see every element that's rolling in and out of here and anticipate their needs and, more importantly, maintain a vision long range as well so that we've got the right pieces of equipment here that they need 10, 15 years from now, because it takes a long time for us to build capability here to meet that need as well.
General, it seems to me that the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard are very fortunate that we've got this facility here in Camp Ripley, because they can train close to home.
It is a gem. You know, it's located dead center in the state of Minnesota. It's darn near 2 hours from everywhere. I joke that it's a geographical oddity because it's 2 hours from everywhere. But in reality, what that gives me, and it gives all our people that come here and train, a pretty short travel timeline, and they're still able to train almost for a full day the day they get here. But more importantly, we have all the pieces of equipment, and we've got a lot of land for them to do their training in. So
it's all about training to make sure our soldiers and airmen are ready for anything, any mission they're deployed on.
Well, as described, you know, it's about focusing on what kind of training units need. But in the background, there's a huge logistical effort that's going on just to enable that.
Well, in general, it's eye-opening to see the base, see how big it is. As we said, it's like a small city. You've got to provide electricity. You've got housing. You've got hotels. You've got the maintenance facility. You've got the training facility. You've got the airport.
Airport, yes, sir.
And it's used by the Air National Guard and by the Army National Guard and units from all over. And then I think the one thing we touched on earlier is there's all those agencies in Minnesota that come up here. Homeland Security comes up here. Yeah. They've got a building. I understand that the MnDOT uses it. They send their snowplow drivers up here and practice before winter.
Yeah, so we have permanently stationed here members of the State Patrol, members of the Department of Natural Resources, and HSCM. They are here because they're conducting their training academies here. Both the State Patrol and the DNR have their officer, their enforcement officer academies here. The DNR is conducting theirs right now. The State Patrol just graduated their class here in May. They were here for 4 months learning how to be State Patrolmen. And then this fall, for two-week periods, we'll bring all the DOT snowplow drivers here and refresh their skills on piles of sand instead of snow. But what they're really learning is, you know, they're learning how not to cut corners and crash into things here on my base, so that when they get out in the public, they're prepared to be safe on the road. And so it's pretty important training for them as well.
In general, one of the other things that you get to do during the course of the year is some of the veteran service organizations come up here and they have some fishing and some hunting events.
We're really proud of that. You know, we've got a great partnership with the VA and the Disabled American Veterans. We just hosted our Trolling for the Troops event here last week. We had 52 professional fishermen here. We paired them up with 104 veterans, both currently serving and disabled, and some were, Vietnam vets, all sorts of different veterans, and they rode around for a day on either Mille Lacs Lake or on the Mississippi River, catching the elusive walleye and smallmouth bass and all sorts of fish.
So sir, when we talk to the Disabled American Veterans, they talk about the fishing, but they also talk about the spring turkey hunts and the fall deer hunts and about how important it is to get our veterans out of the house, even if they are disabled, and what a great facility and a great place to bring
them. It's another example of something that we do here that we seamlessly bring in. It doesn't conflict with any training that's going on. I don't have to shut down training to do any of that because I've got the appropriate space that I can allow those veterans that experience and still continue to meet our needs of both our Army and our DOD customers, as well as state agency folks that are here. So,
in general, we've got one more guest today, and you've got another very special thing up here in Camp Ripley. It's called the Minnesota Military Museum.
So I've been in military bases across the nation all over. And as a lover of history, I normally can find myself strolling through a museum someplace on a military base. I would tell you we have a hidden gem here. By and large, we have one of the best military museums in the inventory. And why do I think it's that? It's because this museum displays a vast amount of material that interprets our history of the Minnesota National Guard. Does a great job displaying it, and really in a small space, the amount of things that they're trying to show you are just amazing. And Randall here leads that effort for us, and we're pretty proud to have him on the installation here. We as an installation are glad to have the museum here. We wish we could make it a bigger footprint for him. We got some ideas how to do that, but right now, we're pretty happy with the space we got.
Randall Dietrich is joining us from the Minnesota Military Museum. Welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
We just got a couple of minutes. Can you give us, our listeners, a breakdown? What is the Minnesota Military Museum? How can they get here? How can they see it?
Yeah. We're right here on post, at Camp Ripley. History happens every day, and we're here to preserve that history. Open 7 days a week throughout the summer. It's on post. Even jumping into July, the Minnesota military history tracks all the way back to the Civil War. July 1 through 3 is the anniversary of Gettysburg. We'll have a special display here at the Military Museum about Gettysburg, July 1 through 3, which is the anniversary. And then all summer long, we've got more programming and details are available on our website.
So for our listeners, when they're heading up north to go fishing this summer, can they just come to the main gate and tell them they'd like to stop at the military museum?
That's the idea. Bring your photo ID with you and come in and see us. Again, we're open 7 days a week throughout the summer.
They can. You know, we have security at our gate. They're going to check your IDs, but we're going to let you roll right in and see this awesome museum.
So if they get a cloudy or rainy day, just come up to the front gates and say, I'd like to take my kids over or my grandkids and see the Minnesota Military Museum. They'll take their ID. They'll check them in, send them right down the street because it's not very far.
It's not. And you've got 60 outdoor displays. You've got tanks on displays, helicopters on display, and then you've got indoor galleries as well. So rain or shine, we are here to serve veterans and the people of Minnesota.
So if you want to see more information on that, go to mnmilitarymuseum.org. Randall, it's a great museum. I've been through it several times, and we're going to go take a look at some things before we're done today. But thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
In general, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, sir. Thank you, and look forward to seeing you again later this year.
I look forward to hosting you here again, so you come up.
We'll be up, sir, anytime. Right. This is Tom Lyons, host of Minnesota Military Radio, and I want to say thank you to the thousands of caring Minnesotans who have purchased Support Our Troops license plates. The funds from the sale of these special license plates are used by organizations such as the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, who provide grants to our Minnesota military families who experience financial emergencies due to service to this great country. You can help by purchasing Support Our Troop license plates, and it is a simple and powerful way to say thank you for the sacrifices our service members and families make to protect our country. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, Colonel Brian Bobo, Major Kyle Klosowski, Captain Rebecca Menkhaus, Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military Museum, Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul and Fishing for Life. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
The Minnesota Patriot Guard is a 100% volunteer, registered 501c3 nonprofit organization which ensures honor, dignity, and respect at memorial services honoring our fallen military heroes, honorably discharged veterans, and line-of-duty police, firefighters, and first responders. Anyone can become a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider simply by going to the website, MinnesotaPatriotGuard.com, and signing up. All you need is a good heart, a flag, and the desire to support our service members and first responders. You don't need a ride a motorcycle, and you can arrive at missions in your car or truck. And when you do arrive at a mission, there'll be a ride captain there to show you what to do and how to do it properly. All of the riders are volunteers, and the missions they participate in serve a very honorable purpose. Find more information at MinnesotaPatriotGuard.com.